As many of you know, we are now in the third week of Lent. We're moving closer to the risen Lord. You're about to hear the story of Peter's denial of Jesus. At this point, Jesus has been arrested in the garden. Judas, a disciple of Jesus, had led the soldiers right to him, fulfilling a prophecy of Jesus at the Last Supper that Judas would betray Jesus. The men Judas brought with him came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. There is no way this was not a tense situation for the disciples. So, unsurprisingly, as Jesus is being arrested, Peter took the sword he had with him and cut off the right ear of a slave that had accompanied the party to arrest Jesus. And so the story progresses into our reading today from John chapter 18, verses 12 through 27. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish people arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since the disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. Went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus in the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the gardens with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, the cock crowed. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us, thanks be to God. Peter had found anonymity. Peter let go of his identity. Peter denied Jesus three times. And in doing so, Peter denied himself. There are two key players in this story, Peter and Jesus. The other disciples appear to have no significance on how this plays out. It is a tale of faith and friendship, fear and identity. Jesus has been taken in for questioning, and in his answers, he has complete faith and trust in that those who heard his words, who experienced his words, would speak to his innocence. Peter was a key witness to the words and actions of Jesus. And yet, when it came time to speak up for Jesus, Peter could not. There's not much we know about what is going on with Peter. What's going on in his head? Why does he deny Jesus? When the woman asks him at the gate, he was even with another disciple, his peer, his friend. We do not know which disciple it was. We do not know if the other disciple had firsthand witnessed Peter's denial. They came as a pair, the other disciple clearly set on why he was to go there. He was a disciple of Jesus. So why did Peter go? We can say that Peter cared. He cared about what would happen to Jesus. He wouldn't have been there if he didn't. But still, Peter denies his place in the life of Jesus. And by doing so, Peter denies himself. Denial of who we are, what we stand for, and why we believe what we believe is an easy path to follow, though it leads to self-harm from this denial. How easy would life be if we followed the path of Jesus, but never admitted that it was his path we were following? No awkward conversations with others, where you were unsure what the name Jesus would mean if it came up. Just merely go about your daily life, living the life echoed of Jesus, but not living in the awareness of who you are and what that means. When I was in high school, I was often teased by the other students for my quietness and for my soft voice. I found solace in reading the Bible on my own at lunchtime. It wasn't obvious what I was reading, unless you looked over my shoulder. It was one of those Bibles that just has a plain brown cover. One day, another girl peeked from behind me at what I was reading. "You can't read that in school," she exclaimed to me. "That's not allowed." I ignored her comments. I knew that I was keeping to myself and not bothering anyone, but the story of how Liz was reading the Bible during lunch got around school quicker than wildfire. Now, just so you know, not to make too big of a deal out of this, I did go to a relatively small school. By the end of the day, two different students had come up to me after hearing the story for themselves. The first was excited. She read the Bible during lunch, too. She was happy to find a friend and know that she was not alone. The second came up to me and called me daring for reading the Bible in school, even though I had kept it to myself. I had known him for 10 years. We grew up together. And in that moment, I learned something I had never known about my friend before. My friend was a Christian. He explained to me how he liked to try and act in the ways of Jesus at school, but if anyone asked him why he was being nice or kind, he would never say, "Because I'm a Christian." My friend went on to explain to me the fear he had about being judged by the other students for his faith, that some of the negative stereotypes that are carried in the secular world regarding Christians would be assumed to him. He told me he felt guilty for never admitting that he was a Christian, even though he would continue to do so if anyone ever asked. I did not question what he told me, and I've always wondered if this was a point where two 15-year-olds could have had a meaningful conversation about their faith, how their faith interacts with their lives. Today, when I think of stories like this, when I think of times where I had not lived out my faith, I realize that in doing so, I was losing a piece of myself. In denying your beliefs and how they affect your life, you lose the chance to show, to represent to the world, the words and actions of Jesus. Jesus did not conduct his life in secret. He had a public ministry. His words and actions were often not kept hidden. But we can still deny them, and deny them we will in our daily lives. Maybe we are not quite like Simon Peter. Maybe when someone asks us about what might compel us we say, because I follow the teachings of Jesus. We claim that identity. And surely, if we claim to that identity, we must not be denying ourselves. But the denials of Peter are so much more than the words on the page. The denials of Peter exist within those actions he took too. Instead of going to the high priest with the other disciples, Peter stood around and warmed himself by the fire with the slaves and the police. How often do we do the same? How often do we stand to the side and let go actions we should have taken as followers of Christ? Words we should have said? Do we live our daily lives focused on compassion for others? Are we aware of our surroundings not for our own safety, but to be aware of the condition of others? Do we step outside our comfort zones to make a connection to live out the teaching of Christ? When I read this story of Peter denying Jesus, I cannot help but feel the fear he must have been experiencing. I do not think his denial was so much to do with Jesus, but more to do with his sense of self-preservation. Just before Peter had cut off another man's ear in the garden when they came to arrest Jesus. In a moment where Peter could have chosen passivity, he instead chose to act on the instinct of violence. He chose the path of fear. With Jesus arrested and brought before the high priest, I can only imagine what Peter must have been thinking. What if they come for me too? This way of thinking has been persistent throughout history. It reminds me of the stories I've heard about Nazi Germany. People afraid to speak up because, what if they come for me too? Martin Niemöller's famous poem, First They Came, rings true to Peter's thought process. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out, because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. The fear that what has happened to the other is what will happen to me as well. Do we live in that fear today as well? We must not. Who is it that is in danger today? Whose lives are threatened and we do not speak out? In recent years, the status of San Francisco as a sanctuary city has brought the city under fire by national, political, and news agencies from all around the nation. Our status as a sanctuary city may, for many San Franciscans, be a piece of pride. You can come here, and you do not have to live in fear that your family will be torn apart due to your immigration status. There are many reasons people might come to the United States illegally. They might be fighting to get out of poverty, fighting to get away from drug cartels, fighting to save their loved ones who remained behind, and fighting to find something that makes sense in this chaotic world. This past Wednesday, after a rise of ICE arrests in Northern California, protesters gathered near the ICE office in the city. Illegal immigrants live in fear of being discovered every day in our country. Yes, you can argue there are illegal immigrants who are criminals, just as there are citizens of this nation who are criminals. There are legal immigrants in our country right now who are fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, who came in at only a few months old to 70 years old. They care for their families. They form friendships with their neighbors. They live their daily lives just like you and me. They come from Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, China, India, Korea, the Philippines, Ecuador, Colombia, and other countries from all around the world. They may live in fear, just like Peter did, but unlike Peter, they have no choice but to hide themselves. They may often feel as though they have no choice to hide, to keep separate and apart from others in society, for need of survival and self-preservation. Illegal immigrants in our country live in a fear that at any moment, someone might find out their identity, just like Peter was afraid that someone would find out his identity as a disciple of Christ. Their association in our society is often viewed as something wrong or as someone that does not belong. But they are our brothers and they are our sisters in Christ. Do we claim them? In doing so, we might find that we claim ourselves as disciples of Christ. What would it mean, what would it have meant for Peter to have stood up and claimed himself as a disciple of Christ? What would it mean? I doubt we can securely answer that. We can point and say, well, the other disciple was there and he was fine. But that is easy to say from where we sit today. Sometimes we feel as though we must deny our identities, deny our true selves, so that we can get through the day and get to a place where we can live in peace. We fall, like Peter, into this habit of denial for self-preservation. We allow our neighbors to live in fear, forcing them to live in secret. And we get stuck in this endless pattern of denial after denial after denial. We lose ourselves. We must, as Peter did after these denials, pick ourselves up. When Mary Magdalene later comes to the tomb of Jesus to find the stone has been moved, she runs to Peter, who then runs over to the tomb as well, because despite his denial, Peter still had faith, and Peter had the potential to learn from his denial and learn from his fear. I like to think that Peter went through a transformation during this time. A transformation where his instinct for self-preservation became apparent to him, that he worked through that and saw his mistakes, and that because he recognized this in himself, he was later to able fully live out the life Christ had called him to, the life of a disciple, the life of a follower, and the life of one who is not afraid to live.